thinking about that as I was singing those words. And what I wondered about myself as I sang them is if I was wholly lost in the Lord. This week I came into my study and someone had slipped a little note under my door. It was unsigned. I didn't really notice that until I'd already read it. Wasn't really critical in a negative way. It was a reminder of something that I probably need to be reminded of, and whoever you were, I got the message. It was another reminder to me that I'm not everything that I want to be, and certainly not everything that God wants me to be. I think about my kids this morning and the father that I've been to them and wonder, what is it that I could have done? And I know there are other daddies sitting in here thinking that same thing. Could have spent more time, more energy, been more spiritual, read the Bible to them, prayed with them more, been more diligent in teaching them to play golf so that perhaps I wouldn't have to work today. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 7. The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. If it could, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshipers would have been cleansed once for all and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins, because it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. It's a good thing that the Jews didn't recognize this in the old system, isn't it? It's a good thing they didn't know that the blood of bulls and goats could never take away sins. It was a good thing they didn't know that the blood of bulls and goats couldn't make them perfect. Wouldn't it have been a pretty sad approach to God to know that you were doing something that was ultimately never going to work? Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased. Then I said, 'Here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, O God.'" And that is a quotation from Psalm chapter 40, which we'll look at in a minute if you want to put your finger over there in your Bible or put your bookmark there, Psalm chapter 40, verses 6 to 8. I think about these Jews and the system that God had in place. And of course, we all know that the system that God put in place for the Jews with the offering of sacrifices was a system through which he meant to teach them just what Hebrews said: it's never going to work. Then when Christ came, he would be the sacrifice that would work for everyone. He would be the one that God introduced. But as I read this and thought about what I would say to you about this passage this morning, the question that I would ask you and I would ask myself is, what do we offer God for our sins? Take the Lord out of the picture and ask yourself, what would you offer God that would make you perfect before him? What would you offer God so that you would be wholly lost in him? You might offer him knowledge. The problem with knowledge, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 8:1, is that often what knowledge does is puff us up. Knowledge makes us think that we think enough like God, or we know enough about God, that we can come to him and say, "Look how much I've learned." What should we offer God? Should we offer God this new facility and saying, "Look at the money we spent on you. Does that draw us close to him?" should we offer him the biblically organized church or the biblically structured worship service that would say to God, this is what makes us wholly lost in you? What shall we offer him? Is it the way we do our communion that pleases God? That draws us and makes us perfect before him? Is it our singing without an organ? What is it? What do we offer God that says, this will cover up my sins? My knowledge will do it. If I study enough and I'm logical and reasonable and open of heart and pure in my motives as I study your word, surely I can learn enough about your Bible, about the words you wrote in Scripture, that I will be wholly lost in you. Well, we could offer him our love. I find it easy to love God because he has been patient with me. I love God because if it wasn't for his patience, I would probably, most likely, most certainly, be visiting with Ananias and Sapphira. But it's not love for God that's the real issue. It's love for you. For the person that puts a note under my door. Jesus says, love your enemies and pray for those that persecute you. I find that much harder than loving God. John says, and I always have a hard time quoting this verse, I get it turned around. If you don't love your brothers whom you have seen, how can you love God whom you've not seen? See, my human side would say, it's easier to love God whom I have not seen because I haven't seen him. He hadn't slipped me notes. He hadn't done wrong things that I could see. You see, but God calls us to a standard of love that says the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And second to that, if he had left this out, it would have been okay. Your neighbor is yourself. So shall we offer our love to God and say, God, this covers up all my sins? Shall we offer our morality to God and say, God, I've not ever even done anything wrong? I can read the list of rules in Scripture and I come out smelling like a rose. I have no regrets on Father's Day. Everything is fine. What shall we offer God? Well, the Hebrew writer is telling us here that the offerings are not what God desired. It's interesting. He says, sacrifices and offerings you did not desire, although the law required them to be made. You see, to God, sacrifices were never the point. Sacrifices were always only a shadow. Sacrifices in God's mind were always about Jesus, even though the Old Testament people didn't know that he was going to be around, and they didn't realize what it was he would do for them. Sacrifices in God's mind was not what made people perfect. It was the attitude of the heart that drew people to God. See, you and I have to understand that it's not the organization of this assembly this morning that pleases God. You know, we pray sometimes, dear God, we pray that this worship is acceptable to you. I don't know that you could do something unacceptable to God if your heart was right. I don't know that you could. I don't know what you could do in here that wouldn't please God if your heart was saying, if your heart was truly lost in him and you were saying, God, I'm coming to offer you myself this morning, my heart, my soul, my mind, my spirit. I don't know what we could do that wouldn't please God. You see, it wasn't the sacrifices. It was the spirit behind them. You see, sacrifices, because of our human nature, can never end. That's why the blood of bulls and goats could never take away sin, because the people would come on Sunday morning and offer the blood of bulls and goats and leave and sin again. So they had to come back, and then they would leave and sin again, and they'd have to come back, and they'd leave and sin again, and they'd have to come back, and they'd leave and sin again, and they'd have to come back, and they'd leave and sin again, and that cycle just goes on and on and on. And the sad part about it all, the guilt remains. The guilt remains. And so God says, I want you to know that it wasn't the offerings that I desired. And there are several passages here that you might want to turn with me to read, if we can all find Hosea. And you know, what's interesting is in the Old Testament, God says this a number of times. The first one, Hosea 6:6. And remember, the Hebrew writer said that God demanded sacrifices. And we're, you know, in our engagement series on Sunday night right now, we're in the book of Numbers, where he talks about all the different sacrifices, the grain offerings, the fellowship offerings, the guilt offerings, the sin offerings, all the things that God demanded of them. So he did demand that they do them. But listen to these passages that we... For I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings. Proverbs 21:3. And remember, this is Old Testament now. 21:3, Proverbs. To do what is right and just is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. To do what is right and just is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Psalm 51:16. You know, one of the worst nightmares of a preacher is to be in the middle of a sermon and forget the order of the books. You would really be nervous if I couldn't have found Hosea. And you'd have really been nervous if I started looking in my index for the page number. Psalm 51:16-17. And listen to God saying this over and over again in the Old Testament. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. And then our passage of this morning, or one of them of this morning, Psalm 40 and verse 6. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have pierced. I know some of us are real sorry to hear that. But my ears you have pierced. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. So what do we learn from those passages? What does God want? This pierced section here in Psalm 40 is not talking about ear piercing like you would think or I would think. It's talking about the opening of the ears. The psalmist says, God, you didn't want the sacrifices. You didn't want my contribution. You didn't want my songs. You didn't want my perfect sermons. You didn't want the contribution done in a certain way. What you wanted was my ears to be open. All these passages are saying God is not so interested in what we do on Sunday. He wants us to show mercy to other people. He wants us to act righteously, to have as the inclination of our heart the desire, the will, to please God. To live before God in a way that says, I am yours. To act justly with other people. Psalm 51, to me, is the most pointed. What God wants is a broken and contrite heart. So what do you hear from these from Hebrews 10 and Psalm 40 and these other passages that we read, what the Bible says is, what God is not so interested in what you offer Him. The nature of your offering. The most important thing isn't what happens to you on Sunday. That's not what God desires. What God desires are open ears and a merciful heart. And what He seeks most of us is that we be broken. That our heart truly be contrite for our sins. When God's Word speaks to us, that it touches us. Now that whole idea of what God doesn't want is perfect singing and perfect sermons and all the offerings that we give and all those things. What He wants is a broken heart. Well, that kind of lets us off the hook a little bit. You mean all God wants for me is to be broken in my spirit, to be busted? But now think about that. How do we offer that perfectly to God? If we can get by with faulty sacrifices and what God wants of us is a broken heart, here's the question: how do I do that perfectly? Are y'all always humble? Do y'all always respond well when somebody slips a note under your door? Or does the hair on your neck stand up and you say, "Boy, I wish they had signed it so I could give them a good punch"? You see, are we always humble before God? Do we always sit in communion and feel the force of the death of Jesus for our sins? Are we always contrite? Are we always merciful? You see, anything that we have to offer God will never amount to anything at all. Right?
So what's the secret to this relationship to God? Well, it's the good news in Psalm chapter 40 and verse 7. Jesus came into the world and He looked at the Father and He said, "Here I am." And now listen, you got to think about these words to really get the impact of them. "Here I am." "I have come to do Your will, O God. It is written about Me in the scroll. I desire to do Your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart." You know what Jesus did? He came into this world and He said, "Father, these people are all losers. They can try real hard, but they can't even keep a humble spirit long enough to make themselves perfect before You." And so He looks, He stands before the Father, and He says, "Father, here I am. I have come to do Your will." That's why Jesus was baptized, to fulfill all righteousness. He knew we could never do that exactly right. Jesus came into the world to fulfill the law and to fulfill the holiness of God by the life that He lived. And He offers Himself as the offering for us. Now see, I think He deserves a round of applause or something for that. We ought to be thinking, this really is good news. God doesn't expect me to offer Him anything. He made the offering Himself. You and I are always on a dead-end road, folks, when it comes to pleasing God. And it's not because God's requirements are unjust. It's because of us, our humanity. That part of us that doesn't take the time that it ought to take, that speaks too quickly when it ought to listen, that sings a song and then thinks, what were we singing about? Have you ever been in worship and you sang through a song and you realized at the end you had no idea what you just sang?
The only song I have a hard time doing that on is when we sing, "All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give." Have you ever stood and sung that and never once thought as you were singing that song, what is it that I still have to surrender to the Lord? Isn't it? I find it hard to sing, "All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give." I don't know about you, but I have a hard time with that song. Not because it's a bad song, but because I'm bad. And Jesus comes into our world and He takes that burden away and He says, "Here I am. I have come to do Your will, O God." Isn't that wonderful? That He did all the things that the Jews and us could never do. He came as our offering. The text says, "A body You prepared for Me," so that He could come here and suffer as we suffer and be tempted as we are tempted, yet without sin, and offer Himself as a sacrifice for our sins. I like being a Christian because of the way God has set it up. Being good at it doesn't depend on me, Steve. And what are you doing in the balcony? You're supposed to be down here on this fourth row. Okay.